Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those watching online as well. So good to be with you this morning. So excited to bring the Word of God. And yeah, I'm just so thankful, to be able to come and bring the Word of God. I'm thankful to our senior pastors, Andy and Becky. I want to honour them for being able to, allowing me to just come and bring the Word this morning. I've been part of this church since I was four. Andy's known me, Andy and Becky have known me for a very, very long time. My parents are here this morning. I was brought up in this church. I'm now 26, so that's quite a long time. Some of you have known me in the room, but it's so good to be able to be a part of here. And along me and my husband, James, we lead the youth and young adults here in the church. Come and speak to us if you want to know more about what we're doing and what we're planning on doing in the future as well. To start my message this morning, I want to ask you all a question. And I want us to be honest this morning. You know, I think it's good in church, isn't it, to be honest, right? Yeah, it's good to be honest in church. I wonder this morning whether you are an early person or you're a late person in the room. Now, you know the early people in the room, you set your clocks 5 minutes early so that you're never late for anything. You're prepared. You're thinking there might be traffic on the road, so I'm going to leave early. You get worried about the idea of just stepping in as something started, so you get everywhere early. You're also one of those people that, you know, when you go into someone's house, they're still hoovering and you're turning up at the door. Please don't come early to my house, because if you know me and James, you'll know don't do that, okay? Obviously, when the restrictions ease, that is. So I don't know if you're an early person, or are you one of those late people that you just get a bit carried away? You think you can do more than you can in your time. You get a bit carried away sometimes. Maybe you underestimate time a little bit. You don't leave room, or maybe you don't want to be early because you want to be late. You want to get there when everyone else is there and the party's already started. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe you're one of these people. Now, I think it's good to be honest in church, right? So I wonder, if you're an early person, come on, just show your hands. You're like, yes, that's me. Whoa, whoa, wow. We are, I know Executive Pastor Steve Bell, he hates being late. I know that. Okay, so come on, let's be honest. And that was a lot of people. I'm impressed, church. I'm impressed. Okay, if you resonate with me a little bit on that, you know, you're late. You don't want to be late, but you're always just late. Something always happens. It's never your fault. Put your hand up if that's you. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That makes me feel a little bit better. It's not just me then. If you know me and James, you know that's us. Unfortunately, I know that's not a good leadership principle. That's not good. I understand that. We're working on it, I promise. But it's just always been me. I'm always late. Actually, one thing that I've often never really been late for is church, because I've often been here earlier, so my whole life. So that's good. But for everything. And I want to tell you a story on the back of you hearing this about me. Is that when I was younger, my parents, they still live in Heena. When I was brought up living in Heena, and I went to a secondary school in Nottingham called Bluecoat Aspley. I actually work at that school now as well. But it's quite far to go for secondary school as a teenager. And I used to have to get up quite early and leave the house. I had to get the Rainbow One bus from Heena Marketplace, and I had to get it at 7:25. It was really important that I got the 7:25 bus, because that would mean that I would be earlier for school and I wouldn't be late. Now, there was one at 7:35, but that was just pushing it a little bit too fine. Do you know what I mean? Like, school started at 8:30, and I'd probably run in at 8:30 if I was to get that bus, if there was no traffic, okay? So 7:35 was a risky one to get. So I'd always try and get up and get ready to the 7:25. I had to leave the house at 7:15. And for me as a teen, that was early, okay? I don't know if that's early for you, but that was early. I find it hard now, let alone then, okay? As a teenager. And I'm never good at getting up. And my dad will laugh at this a lot, and my mum, I'm sure. I used to get up and I used to get ready to go out of the house. But it'd always been a rush. I'd always lose something. My uniform was never fully ready. I'd always forget to get ready the night before, and I just wasn't good at doing it. So I'd run out the door, and three days out of five, I guarantee you, I'm running for that bus. Running. And you know, again, 3 days out of five, I guarantee I missed that bus. So I'm like, okay, I'll settle. I'll get the 7:35 one. Bit annoyed. But then I got to the point of just getting used to getting the 7:35 one, just thinking, no, it's all right. I'll get to school with the skin of my teeth, you know? But then if I'd missed that one, there wasn't another bus for half an hour. So it was really important I got that bus. And again, it got to the point where, especially in year 11, I was a bit older. I was like, three times out of five, I've missed that bus. So what would I do? I would rely on mum and dad, of course, okay? So I'd run home and I'd be like, mum, I'd get my mum out of bed. My mum, she worked nights sometimes, she worked long days. And I didn't care about that. I was like, mum, you've got to get me to the bus. We've got to chase the bus. Is that a saying in anyone else's household? Got to go chase the bus. And it became a thing. My dad would work away a lot and my mum, I'd get her out. How horrible. I'd get her out of bed. Come on, mum, you've got to take me. It's not even my fault. The bus driver went past me. It was never my fault. Ever, was it? Ever. It was always the bus driver's fault. It was always the dog's fault. It was my dad's fault because he lost my shoe. It was my mum's fault because of this. It was my brother's fault because he didn't get me up. I don't know. It was lots of people. Never my fault. But my parents, time and time again, would take me to chase the bus, even just for social things. Even when I got a bit older, take some responsibility, Naomi. I know some of you are saying that. My parents would still be chasing things for me. They'd be picking up my pieces time and time again. Some of you are like, I wouldn't do that. I know, thank you, mum and dad. And I had to learn my lesson. Sometimes they couldn't always do it. They weren't happy about it, but it would be this constant thing they'd always do for me. Why? Why would they do that? Well, I put that down to the fact that they love me and they wanted the best for me and they wanted me to get to school on time. They were fed up with getting them late letters about Naomi being late. Or they wanted me to get to my course on time. They wanted me to do well, so they would help me and support me in that because they loved me. And my parents showed me so much, growing up, they showed me so much level of grace. And this morning, I want to speak about grace. My title is Grace Upon Grace this morning. That's my title. And I want to look at the grace of God. You know, God's grace, it goes so much further than the grace that my parents showed me. God's grace is a grace that no one else can give us. So what is grace? Well, grace is God's favor and kindness towards us. Grace is an attribute of God. Grace is love in action. Grace, the grace of God is the unmerited, undeserved, and unearned kindness of God. You know, God loves us so much. He has so much grace for us today. And I want all of us today to leave the room knowing how to accept the grace of God, knowing how to receive the grace of God, and knowing how to give the grace of God this morning. If you're watching online, the same goes for you as well. And when you look at the Hebrew word for grace, it's chen, and it's going to come on the screen. It's spelled K-H-E-N, chen. That's how you say it, I think, apparently. That's how you say it, anyway. But it's important, I want to look at the Hebrew word, because then when you look at the Hebrew word grace, it's a gift given with delight or favor. It's motivated by delight. So unlike when I would go home and scream to my parents, you've got to take me, to get the bus. And they'd begrudgingly, oh, and they wouldn't be happy about it. God isn't like that. You know, God is a God that he's happy to give us his grace. It's motivated by delight. When you look at this Hebrew word, hen, it's showing favor to someone who should get what they deserved. You know, in my story, I should have just learnt my lesson. I should have just always been late. I should have just got the punishment and sanctions at school for being late. But no, I got showed kindness I didn't deserve by my parents. But so much more, God shows us his grace in our lives. Because Andy's already said it this morning. You know, we mess up. We're sinful people. We do things wrong. But yet God, motivated by delight, shows us him. He shows us grace this morning. And I want us to read a story in the Bible that shows us so much grace and shows us the meaning of grace. There's so many times in the Bible God extends his grace out to his people. But there's this one particular story I want us to look at where Jesus shows grace. So we're going to read from John 8 from verse 2 this morning. It says this. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, that's Jesus, where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in an act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. I love Jesus' stance in the story. It says, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away at one time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and sin no more. Leave your life of sin." Wow. What a powerful story we see. We see these Pharisees here. You know, the Pharisees, Andy's already said it this morning, but they were people that they would teach the law. They would be teachers of the law, but they would often think they were better than other people. The Pharisees would. They try to trick Jesus in this story. They're trying to trip him up a little bit. And you know, they often thought, "Oh, well, you know, we're better than this woman." That's how they can see themselves in this story. They think, "Oh, this woman, she's sinful. Let's bring her to Jesus. See what he's got to say. In fact, let's try and be a bit better. Let's try and trip Jesus out." That's what they're trying to do in this story. But they couldn't cast a stone. Why? Because they're sinful too. You know, we're all sinful, aren't we? We are all sinful people. And they couldn't cast that first stone. And Jesus then says, "I don't condemn you." Jesus didn't condemn. He showed grace. That's exactly what he shows in this story. He extends grace to this woman. And then he says, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Because this woman, after she's received this grace, how can she be the same once she's received grace? How can we be the same when we really understand, accept, and receive the grace of God? We can't be. I can't be the same person when I know what God has done for me and how much he loves me and he loves you this morning. So I want to pray that we're going to understand grace upon grace this morning. I want to pray for us right now, and we're going to go into our first point once I've prayed. Let me just pray that you would receive this word, and you need to get out of this word what you need to get out of it this morning, those watching online as well. God, I thank you that you are a God of grace. Thank you for your hand this morning, God, and that you love us so, so much. And God, I pray that we'd have our hearts open and our ears open to receiving what you want to say to us through this word this morning, God. We are open to hear from you today, God. Amen. Amen. So when it comes to grace, the first thing that we need to do, looking at this word grace, is accept it. So we need to accept the concept of what grace means. Now, there's so much you could talk about when it comes to grace. I've tried to narrow it down a little bit this morning. But we need to first of all understand, when it comes to accepting grace, that we don't deserve it. This woman, she deserved to be stoned. By the law, she deserved to be stoned to death for what she had done. She deserved that. What do we deserve for our sin? Well, in Ephesians 2, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Wow. Our sin cannot be, you know, sin and God, they can't go together. You know, our sin deserves wrath. This woman, she deserved this punishment, but yet Jesus showed grace. And no one could stone her. Why? Because they had sin also. We're all undeserving of grace this morning, but yet we can receive it because that's how good our God is this morning, church. You know, we all need to realize that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. It says that in Romans. And the wages of sin is death. But because of the grace of God, we can live this morning. It's so important to understand the cross. Andy spoke a message a couple of weeks ago about the cross. And I encourage you to listen to it if you've not listened to it yet. And the importance of Jesus dying on a cross for me and for you so that we can be forgiven. You know, we took communion this morning to remind us of that, that God extended his grace so much. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, for us. Because, you know, Jesus, he came to fulfill the law of Moses. So that's why this woman, he's showing that in this story. So I love it. In the story, he's already showing that ahead of him, before he even goes to the cross. He's showing that he fulfilled the law. You know, in Acts 13:38, it says, "Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, Everyone who believes is set free from every sin. A justification you are not able to obtain under the law of Moses, because Jesus, he came to fulfill the law. So we need to know that that's what grace looks like today. Grace upon grace. God always extends his grace to you today. Why? Because of the cross. So we need to carry the cross of Jesus with us every single day, church, because it changes and transforms our life. Grace upon grace. We have to understand the seriousness of sin when it comes to grace, but it's good to know that we're forgiven for the sin that we commit this morning. It's good. Accept the grace of God. You know, in a commentary I was reading, it summed grace up and it said this. It said, the best grace is that God purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave all of our sins. This immeasurable gift was given to you when you believed. You didn't work for it. You didn't even deserve it. If he stopped there, that would have been enough. But he continues to give us more grace, more kindness, more wisdom and understanding. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And as I was preparing this message, I really felt there's some people here that maybe you feel that you're too broken to receive the grace of God. Maybe you say, Naomi, you don't know what I've done. Yeah, I don't know what you've done. God does. But God loves you just the way you are because of his grace. None of us should feel too guilty or like we're not worth enough for God. Every single one of us are children of him. You know, in the Bible, there's so many examples. This woman caught in adultery is one where Jesus extends his grace. But there's so many people in the Bible that did so many things that seemed like they didn't deserve the grace of God, but yet they can accept it and they were given it. Noah, he was a man of God, but yet he got drunk. The woman at the well was an adulterer. Moses doubted, and in fact, he was a murderer, but yet God extended his grace and used him. The Israelites, they were the people of God. They made for themselves an idol. They rejected God again and again. And in fact, the story of the golden calf is when we first see God's grace being mentioned in the Bible. David, he was a cheat. Peter was a denier. Judas was a betrayer. Zacchaeus, he was a con man. So there's no one here that can tell me that they can't receive the gift of grace today. Right? Because look at those examples. Anyone here today, you are welcome here to receive the gift of grace. Accept it this morning. God loves you the way you are with whatever baggage you're carrying this morning, church. Grace upon grace, right? This morning. Romans 3:24 says, and all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again. Don't be burdened by your sin this morning. Don't sit there and say, well, woe is me because of what I've done. God loves you. He has grace for you today. There is no one in this room that is excluded from the grace of God. Yeah, we don't deserve it, but we're given it. That's the gift of God. Accept it. The second thing I want to say this morning is receiving it. Now, when we hear accept and receive, we often see that as the same thing. But when I was studying grace and I was thinking about it, I thought, well, we can accept the grace of God. That's lovely. So what I've just said, that's really great. Yeah, God loves me, whatever. But receiving it is living within it as if it's a gift and living in grace every single day. The difference between accepting and receiving the grace of God is that we can accept the concept, but receiving is living in it. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, a gift given to you today. You know, we're given the grace of God not for our works. There's nothing we can do to make God love us anymore. There's nothing we can do to make him love us any less. God loves us the same this morning. We are all equal in the eyes of God. God loves us and has grace for all of us. Now we can receive the grace of God as a gift this morning. And you know, when we really receive it and get true revelation that grace is a gift from God, I want to remind us it doesn't take away the holiness of God this morning, yeah? God is holy. And yes, he has grace for us. That's nothing we do. We shouldn't take advantage of that though. Why? because God wants us to live a certain way, and God wants to change us from the inside out because he's got the best life for us. So it doesn't mean we can just go and sin all the time. As it says Romans 6, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it in any longer? And for me, the revelation that God loves me no matter what causes me to change from the inside out, because I receive this gift of grace. I receive it and it causes me to want to act. It causes me to want to live a life of worship to God. And I want to say, here I am, God, because thank you for the cross. Thank you for all you've done. I want to give my life to you. And that causes me to change and transform from the inside out. It causes you to change, the gift of grace. It causes us to. Let's accept it. But let's not take advantage of the grace of God, church. Yeah? We don't take advantage of it. God's got the best life for you. That is why. And he wants us to live the life he has for us. That means we come to him. We ask for forgiveness. And as we draw close to God, he draws close to us. And then we start to change. Things start to change in our lives for the good. You know, grace, it positions me to a life of worship, church. It should position you to a life of worship, saying, here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God, use me. We've worshiped this morning. Come to the altar. Come to Jesus this morning. In Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age. Now, we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. But that's the beauty of God's grace. But at least I'm trying. I say, God, I want to live a life of worship to you. God, I give you everything. And when I mess up, yes, God extends his grace. God loves me. He's forgiven me. He's taken all of our sins to the cross, yeah? But it, when I position my life in a lifestyle of worship, it causes me to respond. So to receive the grace of God, we need to have a relationship with him. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God yet. Maybe you're sitting on the fence this morning. Maybe you're watching online. You're like, I'm not sure about this. Well, the beauty of God's grace is God's going to be there today. He's here today with us. He's here tomorrow. He's here in 5 years, 10 years time. But I want to encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait to receive this gift. Don't wait to receive God this morning. Why would you? God's got something so good for you. He's got a life that is so good. He promises us a life of purpose. Not a life without suffering, but that God is there within our suffering. God loves us. He wants a relationship with you this morning. Allow the grace of God to take over your life today. Allow it to come in. Maybe you've been harsh on yourself. Maybe you've found things hard and you've been, you know, hard on yourself this morning. Well, receive the grace of God. Receive it this morning. Remember, Jesus took your sin to the cross. Receive it. You know, when you receive the gift of the grace of God, it starts to release hurt in your life, pain in your life. Steve spoke last week. I think there's been a bit of a theme. And I thought when I heard you speaking last week, Steve, and Annie speaking the week before, I thought, wow, God's speaking to us, church. Because Steve spoke last week on unleashing the hurt locker. I encourage you to listen to that as well. But this is what grace does. It helps to release hurt. It helps to release sadness, bitterness, unforgiveness in your life. Why? Why does grace do that? Well, it's the unmerited favor of God, church. That's why it does that. So when you draw close to God and you have a relationship with him and you accept and receive the grace of God, you know, it helps release bitterness, unforgiveness, sadness, hurt, pain. It helps to do that because that's our God. Grace upon grace. The third point is giving it. Once we accept the concept of the grace of God and we receive it, we give it. We are to extend grace to other people. So important. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, the woman who was caught in adultery, Jesus said, go and sin no more. And I believe that moment there would have changed her life forever. I believe that. I believe that it would have been so significant to her. She was on death row 1 minute, and the next minute Jesus says, you know, go, just go and live a life of sin no more, go. And I believe she would have done good things. You know, God's got good things for us to do. I read a quote from a pastor that said, when we come face to face with Jesus, when we see his goodness and his grace and his heart, when we see that he is our God, our response is a letting go of self-focused and selfish living, an embrace of living to bless those around us. If God has given us grace, we need to extend it to others. Some of you need to hear that today. We need to extend grace. The Pharisees, they were very religious. They were like, this woman, she's wrong. They were condemning her. She was religious. They were trying to condemn her. But you know what? Grace doesn't have a religious spirit. We don't condemn people this morning because of grace. We need to extend grace. You know, we live in a society that loves to blame, right? Loves to tear people down. We've seen it more than ever this year in people in leadership getting teared down, people on social media and influencers getting teared down, getting ridiculed for different reasons and for different things, the government being teared down by different people. Everyone's got an opinion. We live in a very blame culture society, don't we? Yeah. But you know what? We need to extend grace. If we love God and we receive and accept this, we can sit and be like, yeah, I want to accept this, but we need to extend it to our work colleagues, just as Andy said earlier. We need to extend it to our managers. We need to extend it to the parents on the school playground. We need to extend it to our neighbors, because the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. We need to extend grace. God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, for us and for the world, not just for us in here, but for those out there, church. We need to extend the grace of God. When we accept and receive the grace of God, I don't know how we couldn't extend the grace of God. When we have an outworking relationship with Jesus, it should reflect in our lives. I was watching a video from the Bible Project, and they talked about grace, and I want to read this. It says, to be gracious typically means you are kind, courteous, and even delightful. We hear this word used to describe someone's surprising and kind attitude towards another person. He was so gracious to that rude stranger, or she exudes grace under pressure. Someone who is gracious is an enjoyable person to be around because they bring light and life to others. Wow. I want that to be me this morning. Do you want that to be you? Grace upon grace. Matthew 5:44, it says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus, he loved those who persecuted him. He went to the cross. People put him on the cross that hated him, but he loved them back and said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they have done. We need to extend grace. If someone hurts you, how do you respond? If someone's not living how you think they should live, how do you respond, church? Because we need to be gracious people, don't we? Jesus had grace for others. Do you? You know, grace, it's given with no conditions. Can I remind us of that? But I believe it causes us to respond. I couldn't not respond when I accept and receive the grace of God, church. And I've not got this all together any more than you have. But I'm challenged this morning that when I listen and hear about the grace of God, that I want to go and extend that out to all people. I want to do that. Do you? I'm coming to a close, but I want to give a bit of an example of this. Just to wrap this up, an illustration of grace that I want to show us is I want us to look at the Greek word for grace, which is charis. Now, it's spelled K-H-A-R-I-S. You might think charis, but I think it said charis. Sorry if I say it wrong. But it said it's written 153 times in the New Testament. And before grace was a spiritual word, it was a Greek word, charis. And I want to show a visual for this right now. So I'm just going to ask Timothy. You're just going to come up and help me, aren't you? Okay, Timothy's just going to come up. And I want to ask Leonardo, can I ask you just to come up? Is that okay? Do you want to come here? Okay, this is Leonardo, everyone. This is Timothy, everybody. Okay, so Leonardo, you just stand there for me a minute. And Timothy, just come here a second. So looking at this word charis then, this Greek word, I'll be done in a few moments. Okay, it requires action. So it's a superior giving to an inferior, but it's not an inferior in terms of person. It might be in terms of they need something that they haven't got. But to help us with this, I'm going to use the supplier. So you're going to be the supplier, okay? And you're going to be the customer, Leonardo, okay? And I've got some Krispy Kreme donuts here, okay? So I did kind of prepare Timothy for this because Timothy right now, he works for Krispy Kreme, okay? So you can make donuts, you can supply donuts, okay? But the beautiful thing about this word, Harris, yeah, I know, random. Thought it was a good thing. This word, Harris, is that it requires three people. So we've got the supplier and we've got the customer. But it requires someone to help the process, the middleman, the broker, okay? And so you're a supplier. You made these donuts. Well done, Timothy. You're a Krispy Kreme maker. You can make them. And you want to give them to someone because you're a supplier. So someone needs them. And Leonardo, he's a customer right here. He's like, yeah, give me the donuts. I want the donuts. Okay. But the broker knows who wants them and who needs them. Okay. So you're going to use me to give them to the customer. But not only that, the customer this time is not paying for them. Because they've been paid for. The broker, they pay for them. I've paid for these in full. I went to Tesco yesterday. I've paid for them in full. And I'm going to give them right there to Leonardo. And they are yours, Leonardo. This is real. They are yours. You can get, yeah, you can have them. He can have them. Amazing. Yeah, you can have them. Yeah. Oh, you're, okay. You can give them. Oh, look at that. Okay, he can't have them. He's a little beautiful. Give them a round of applause. You guys can sit down. Ah, he can't have them because he's allergic, but he's given them anyway. How beautiful is that? But let's go back to Harris a minute. Let's go back to this word. Requires three people. Does that remind you of something, church? Does that not remind you? Before it was a spiritual word, it was a Greek word, Harris, and God uses this word that is grace. Jesus, he died on a cross for me and for you. He's our broker this morning, yeah? And when it comes to looking at this word grace, when we deserve punishment, instead, God gives us mercy, as we've said this morning already. When we cannot do it alone, God gives us help. When we lack in wisdom, God gives wise guidance. When we suffer, God gives us healing. When we are unlovable, God loves us the utmost. When we continually sin and fail, God gives us forgiveness. When we need strength, God gives us perseverance. That is grace this morning, grace upon grace this morning. Accept it, receive it, and let's give it this morning, church. Come on, we need to give grace this morning. And our God, he gives you grace this morning. And I want to pray right now. There's some of you, you need to accept this concept of grace. You are loved. Some of you need to receive it this morning as a gift. It's a free gift. You deserve it this morning. And some of you, you need to give it this week. You know this, but you need to give it to someone this week. There's someone that you've not been gracious to, and you need to give it this week. Why? Because of the cross this morning and our God's grace this morning, church. He loved you. He cares for you, and he sent his son Jesus for you this morning. I'm sorry I'm over time, but let this change your life. It's changing mine. It changes mine every day. So come on, let's stand. If you want to receive the grace of God, just put your arms out. If you don't want to do this, do it like this. Just a small amount. If you want to, just put your arms out. Let's just receive, God. We receive your grace this morning. Grace upon grace. God, I pray right now for hearts and lives that they would know just to accept you this morning. God, I accept you this morning. Maybe some of you just need to say that in your minds or just whisper it. God, we accept you. Accept your grace this morning. God, some people need to receive it this morning as a gift. It's a free gift for you. You are loved. Allow it right now to change and transform your life. Allow it right now. Come in, Jesus, come in. Come in, God. And some of you know you need to give grace. Give grace. God, I thank you that you've given us so much grace and you love us so much. And I pray that we would accept and we would receive and we would give it this morning, God, because you give it to us first. You're our first love. You sent your son Jesus on a cross. Thank you, God, for that word, Harris. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your hand, that by your delight, you give us love. And I pray that you just start to change us from the inside out, that in our weeks this week, we would be able to accept and receive your grace and show it, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I pray you continue to speak to us this morning, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.